Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Please stay on the line.
Hello, my amazing besties. Thank you so much for coming to hang out with me tonight. This is episode 2 of Murder Between Friends. I can't thank you enough for the support you showed on the first episode with Brittany Vaughn. If you guys missed it, definitely go and check that out. I had so much fun. Can't wait for her to come back on. I also wanted to mention, I know the title of the show was confusing for some people who didn't hear the intro clip. I saw a few comments that were like, when are we gonna start talking about the case? So I just wanted to put it out there that while some episodes will touch on cases, the podcast itself is just a chance to get to know your favorite true crime creators behind their channels and just like unwind and see a more lighthearted side of them. Since we're always covering such heavy things all the time, we don't really get a chance to see that. All right, with all of that being said, I can't wait for you to hear from my guest today. She has been on YouTube for so long. She has more recently made her shift to the true crime space, and it's been so amazing to see her flourish here. Even my dad is a fan. So without further ado, welcome Kimberlea.
Hi, babe. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thank you for being here.
You're welcome. I'm excited.
I'm so excited. We've like kind of been working on this, chatting behind the scenes, and I've just been so pumped. So now the day is finally here, and I couldn't be happier to have you on the channel. Or I guess, no, what would a podcast be called? I guess the station, right?
The show.
The show. I like that better. It's a show. It is my own show. Thanks for being on it. I'm really, really excited. What are you doing? What are you sipping on right now?
I am turning my fan off because I just realized that's going to sound really bad. And I'm drinking some Josh's. It's like it's a good wine. I don't know. And it's not expensive. It's maybe this was $12 a bottle. I'm like, ooh, fancy. But I'm drinking the red wine. And then I also have, nobody asked, a water just in case.
Good girl. You have to balance it. Stay hydrated. I love a good red. Are you a red drinker?
Yes, I am. I do not like white wine at all. So it's only red. No.
It has to be like the right season for me for white, but I'm definitely like a drier wine person. Do you like it sweet?
Yeah. I like blackberries, blueberries, red berries. I like it sweeter and not dry.
Okay. So like totally opposite. So if we go on a wine tour together, I'll have all the dry. You can have all the sweet.
But also we can do that thing where we like, you take your glass and I take mine and we like let each other sip it. To try it.
Oh, that's way cuter. Yeah. No, we're doing that. That's way we're more romantic.
Oh, my dog is whining. I don't know why, but forgive him because he might want to get in here and I'll have to tell Scott to come get him.
That's what Reverie is doing right now too. She's just crying. And
aww.
It's because, yeah, I know. She's very addicted to me, which is fine. But it prevents like some stuff from happening. But we're working through the kinks right now, you know? Like
Kids are great.
It's been a nice escape with you, actually. I've been so thankful for our chats lately. And I think like people don't realize how lonely like being a creator can be, you know?
Yeah, very lonely.
It's like you it's very lonely. And so when you have somebody, like when you reached out to me and we got to chatting, I was like, oh my God, this is so nice, because it's somebody who's going through the same things I am. And everybody kind of wants to keep things secret, right? Like they're just like, you don't want to talk about certain things. You don't want to like let anybody know about your struggles. It's almost like, okay, like everything's good. It's all rainbows and butterflies. And then if you have a question, you don't even know where to start. So I've just been so, so thankful for you.
I feel the exact same way. And I remember I was telling you this earlier, you already know this, and I tell everybody, but I just remember really being interested, and we can talk about this in a minute, but really being interested in doing true crime more seriously, because I had started a podcast, but I wasn't doing it on my YouTube channel. And I was just searching for other women who were in the space. And I stumbled upon your channel and I started watching a bunch of videos, and I was like a binge watcher, but I'm very worried about commenting. And there's a lot of reasons why, but most of the reasons are stemming around the fact that, like, you know, YouTube gives you the little check mark and then people are like, oh, who is this commenting? And then they go to your channel. I just try to keep as quiet as possible and usually have nothing much to say. But it was that one video where I was scrolling the comments and I just saw someone trolling, and they were saying kind of mean stuff about, oh, you're copying this person, or what gives you, what, how do you think you could be better than whatever, your background, this, that. And I triggered me as a creator. And I was like, screw it. Even if people are going to write rude things, I'm just going to say it. And that's, I think after that, I just wanted to make sure you were okay with like what I wrote, or I don't know. I just remember DMing you just to be like, hey, I feel you.
I was so thankful. And I guess it is different when you have somebody come to bat for you who like is also in the space, right? It felt nice to, I don't know. Yeah, just like, not like that I need like anybody to like defend me, but you know, it's so much different when it's somebody else like coming and supporting you. Cause I knew, like, I know my intentions are good. I know like I'm me, but you can't like, you know, you can't help like certain people, but it was nice to like have somebody who's been in the space for a long time, like defend me. I was like, yeah, what she said. Okay. Don't hurt my feelings.
It's hard. It's a hard job and we choose it. Therefore, a lot of people say, well, you chose it. And I'm like, yeah, but the person's also choosing to be an a-hole. That's a choice exactly. Too. I've tried so many things because as people, we're dynamic. We have so many likes. Like if you came in my room, which is what I used to do, I used to look around and say, okay, I really love YouTube. That doesn't change. That's a constant. But what do I want to talk about today? And I really always felt like the camera is a friend. So I'm like, what would I want to talk about to my friend? Oh, I'd want to show her the clothes I just bought. I want to show her the makeup I just bought. And then I realized, yeah, but like, I don't know if that's my passion. You're like, I'm passionate about things, but not to keep going again and again. So trust me, I have done makeup, beauty, lifestyle, health, fitness, just you name it.
I love it though. And what I really love about you is that you're so persistent, consistent with whatever you're doing. Like you pour yourself into it. And I've seen that in, you know, like across your channel. Obviously, like I connected with you through the true crime space, but I was able to like go back and see like some of those earlier videos. And I'm like that. It's, I don't know. It's just so awesome that you've been able to not reinvent yourself, just show your personality in different niches. You know, like, have you, like, how do you do it? You know what I mean? Like, how do you do it?
I like the word reinvent yourself, but on the other hand, I took a class from YouTube twice. I took this class twice recently in 2019. And before that, I think in like 2018, right? 2018. And it's called Rebrand Yourself. So I think of who I am and who you are and other people, we're the same, but there's just so many things that we could do. You know, when you're thinking about, like I just said, what do I want to do? There's just so many options. You could write them down on a piece of paper and be like, well, I like horseback riding, or I like tattoos, or I like wine. And there's whole channels on that. There are whole channels on that. So you think, well, I could do anything I want. What do I want to do? And so I guess the whole idea of like reinventing, YouTube calls it like rebranding. And in a lot of businesses or anything you really want to do in life when you're getting older. Let's say I was into like goth because I was in high school, but I'm not necessarily reinventing myself, that I still have a little bit of my uniqueness and darkness, but at the same time, I've gotten older. So you almost have to rebrand your whole, you know, yourself, the way you act, the way you, I don't know, you change. So with the YouTube thing, they would always tell you, YouTube changes, you change. We want you to evolve with the platform, and you're growing up online. We're all growing up online. So, you know, and we're under a microscope when we're doing it. Therefore, people might say, well, why were you doing beauty and now you think you can do true crime? Which is sort of what they said in your comment. Like, what makes you think you can be better at doing, you know, the video that so-and-so already did? And I'm like, there's no barrier to entry. What do you mean?
I know. And that's one thing that I've like really taken from you, is that you're able to like take what people are saying, but not, it hurts, obviously, not that you let it roll off your back, but it's like, you're like, I don't have anything to prove. I am who I am. This is, you know, what I want to do now. This is the interest I have now. Take it or leave it, you know. Did you get a lot of like clapback when you came into like the true crime space, where people who were following you prior to like the different niche that you were in, do they stay? Like, what did that look like for you?
Okay, so there's a lot to unpack, because I feel like this, I've done this a couple of times, and I was happy in some ways that I had experience changing so much. So, you know, if I was interested in vitamins, I did like a whole series on Tati's beauty vitamins. And it was for the sole fact that I was trying them. And I figured, if I'm already trying them, why not make a YouTube video? Because again, it's a lonely world. Like, it's a lonely place sometimes. I'm not from California. I don't have a lot of friends here. So YouTube has been my friend. Like, that's where I meet people. I've met all of my best friends on YouTube. So this is where I connect with people and make long-lasting friendships. I met Scott online, not on YouTube, but it's just become a second life, like a second world. So for me, I forgot the question already, but when I kept changing, I would have to realize that, yeah, there's going to be people who drop off because they're so used to my phone fashion videos or, you know, my lifestyle videos. And you get those people, and either they're going to stay because they've connected with you as a person, or they're going to leave because you were a utility to them. Like, you were teaching them something or showing them something. And at some point I started to realize what type of content is more of a utility, like what you would search, like how to clean my toilet. That's something where people are not necessarily getting to know you. They just want to know, hey, how do I clean my toilet? Like, let's get into it. I don't care about the intro.
Right.
Yeah. So you're going to, yeah, I definitely lost people over the years. But you would be surprised, and I was, maybe you wouldn't, but I was very surprised that after I went from the last niche, a lot of people did come back to me months later. Like, maybe they left for a little while because they were confused. And I also took a break. So a lot of people were like, oh, she's not posting anymore, I'm going to unsubscribe. Or they just didn't like me because I was changing. Or people just don't like your face anymore, or don't like what you're doing, don't know you. So yeah, I had a lot of people come back later. Even yesterday, I had someone DM me and say they had been DMing me a long time ago. Otherwise, I have my DMs closed. I mean, sorry, but it gets me too anxious to open them. But she had DM'd me a long time ago when I was doing another niche. And she said, hey, I haven't seen you in a while, but I kind of like stumbled upon your channel again and I'm blown away. Like, this is exactly what you were meant to do. And so I get those nice messages. And of course, I got a lot of crap like when I first was doing true crime, because I think everyone gets that.
Right. Yeah. What made you come into true crime? Because I totally agree with whoever that was. Like, this is your calling. This is what you were meant to do. Like, what did that look like for you?
I always laugh because I get so sensitive when I talk about not having a talent for so long. And that's not a lie. Like, I could be good at something. I don't know what those things were. I've always been good at talking and having conversations and maybe being on YouTube. And, but I always joke around. I'm like, I'll be 40 in June. And I'm like, took me until 40 to figure out I have a talent.
Oh my gosh.
But it's true. And because I don't do a sport, I don't have like scrapbooking or something that I'm like so creative at. I can draw, but it's not really my passion. But yeah, this is the first time where I wrote down, that's how I got into it. I took the Rebrand Me class or Rebrand Yourself at YouTube Space right before COVID because I wasn't happy doing the utility channel. Like I loved it. Don't get me wrong, because you can have a love for something you're doing, but it's just you're changing. And I was like, I'm too old to be doing this stuff. Of course I like phone fashion. Like I still do it, but it's not something I want to talk about day in and day out. And I was right. getting to the point where I wanted to connect right. as myself to an audience and find those like-minded people.
Right.
So YouTube had you write down things about you. Like, what are you good at? What is your background? What are things you can't get enough of? Like, that's what you do. You write those things down. And just like you, and just like all of the audience here, I would always watch true crime. Everyone does. Right. Like, who doesn't? Yeah. But yeah. to decide you want to do that, you know, on YouTube is kind of a big step in a certain direction. But I mean, there's an interest I've always had in crime and like in true crime. But then the interest to do it on YouTube kind of came out of Google and YouTube just training us like how we can rebrand our channel.
I just feel like when I think of you, I guess I don't really have any experience. I'm biased because I only know of you on YouTube. But I think like for sure this is your calling. Like once you came into the true crime space too, I was like, oh yeah, this is it for you. This is where you got to be. Was there like a case specifically that stuck with you maybe, like that you were like, okay, I want to go on true, like in the true crime space, and this is what I definitely want to talk about?
Yeah, there's one that stuck with me. I was going to say my whole life, but it only happened in 2007, I think, because I remember it either happened the first time I went in before I withdrew, or it happened right when I came back. It was the Jodi Arias Travis Alexander case. And for, I'm sure everybody here knows, but for those of you that don't, she basically, I don't know what we can say on here because you're getting monetized, but she like, you know,
yeah,
removed his head and, you know, he was murdered. So, but it was her boyfriend and the case was just so, I don't know what it was about it, but I do know, and I'm going to be brief, but when I was younger, I dropped out of high school and I got my GED. And while I was in this limbo of like trying to find out what I wanted to do with my life, I was in a bad place. I started getting into things that were not good, which a lot of teenagers do. And I ended up wanting to change my life around. I was sleeping in my car, sleeping in various places. And I ended up parking in a church because I was thinking, no one's going to kill me in a church parking lot. Like, oh, who's going to do that?
Gosh. Right.
Yeah. So I was like, all right, I was in my little like Volkswagen GTI with a hatchback sleeping. And lo and behold, a pastor came out to my car because he had seen my car there maybe a number of times. And he was like, are you okay? Like, do you need anything? I started bawling. Like, I do get very emotional, even though I know I seem like resting bitch face sometimes. But I get very emotional. And I was just like, no one's ever really asked me for if I needed help because I grew up raising myself in a lot of ways and I never asked for help. But anyway, a Christian family took me in and I ended up, like I said, taking the GED. They got me into a Christian college and I was forgetting where I was going with this, but the reason I got into the case was I started dating a pastor's son. He knows who he is. And we had this very drama-filled relationship because look at me. I don't exactly look like the Christian girl you bring home to your pastor father, but we had a bond and it was hard because he was such a good person and I wasn't. And that's who you're attracted to. And I would do anything for him. And I related to Jodi Arias, not saying that I relate to her for any of the crappy and horrendous things she did. But what right. I'm saying is the pain that she went through, because she did. I mean, even right. if you hate what she did, she was being used by a man yeah. and he was a Mormon. Yeah. And, you know, my man was a Christian, but there wasn't much difference. He would speak on stage and everyone liked him and he would cheat on me. And it was just terrible. And I resonated with that because I was like, oh my God, all of those things happened to me too. Like all of the things that she said about like, oh, we can go this far. He's okay doing these things because it's not really this. And then it blew my mind that I could relate to that. Right, but you have to remember, you know, sorry, I keep going, but you have to also remember.
I'm like, keep going. This is relatable for me too. So I'm actually like, I love that you're talking about this because I don't think a lot of people, women would, because it's Jodi Arias, right? So like you said, if you're familiar with the case, which a lot of people are, no one wants to be like, okay, well, I was a Jodi. And I totally was too. So keep going because I'm like, I'm fully feeling like way more better about myself.
I've never said this before. Like, even if he sees this, which I know he probably still watches my videos. I know he probably does. Like, we had such a big connection. And throughout our lives, we've like checked on each other. And even though I shouldn't. And that's the other thing. Right. Like, I am one of those people who forgive and I'll like still want somebody kind of in my life. And, you know, that's a memory. Many years we were going through this and it's just, it was right. Back and forth and push and pull. And he's the one that you always wanted, like the blue eyes. It's just like same with Travis Alexander. It was like, I saw right. So much of my guy like in that. And so, yes, of course, also you have to remember, I was on, Dr. Das channel, he's a forensic psychiatrist and he rehabilitates criminals. You have to think like he's working for the defense. What an interesting perspective to get because he looks at criminals in a different way than we do. And because I know my father, obviously, and I have listened to his stories of like how he became the way he was, I have to kind of compartmentalize and say, it's still a human being and I need to understand them. And there's going to be human components to them. There's going to be monster components to them. So I related with her. And this is actually how I started getting into another niche I was in before I did the true crime niche. But that is a case that just stuck with me. And I read the Book of Mormon in 2019, right before COVID, because I was fascinated. I had just rewatched a documentary on Jodi Arias because I'm obsessed with the case to understand the dynamic. And right. I started looking into like some of the right. other aspects of that case, but that's the case that's always stuck with me. And also, I've seen all the crime scene photos and I cannot get them out of my head.
Oh my God, me too. And you know what? I try not to look at crime scene photos because yeah, once you see them, it's there. You can't get rid of it. And I never intended to see the photos of him like in the shower and it was like an up close of like his face and oh my gosh, like yeah, like it'll be something that I'll never forget. Definitely did not want to see it. And it makes you like and then when I see those things, it makes me feel for the family, right? Because what if that was my brother, oh my gosh, you know, like just that can be out there on the internet. But then in the same aspect, you're just always also like, okay, well, that even further connects you to the fact that this was a real person. This really happened. And she did that. Like what the heck happened?
It's disgusting. Like that's why it sticks with me so much because as weird as it sounds, like whenever I see a shower, that's like that square type of shower. You know, I'll be walking in like I'm looking at a home. I will like see him sitting there.
Yes. Like what? Oh my God. Like what is that? I just want to put a memo out there. If you guys have not seen it, please don't. I'm like, we are literally telling you not to do this because this will stick with you for your life. You are not missing anything besides definitely walking into a place, seeing a shower like that, and you'll never forget it. My apartment had one like that, and I used to shower in the other side.
That's funny.
So I was like,
not funny, like not haha. I'm not saying any of this is funny, but it's so ironic and interesting because when we moved in here, we had seen a bunch of other houses, and I looked at the bathrooms because again, I had an apartment during law school that looked exactly like that, but it had two bathrooms. So thank goodness, like I'm the same. I couldn't, I don't know why, like I feel like I'd be like haunted by it, but thank goodness like this one did not. It has like tubs, like tub showers.
Yeah.
And I was like, yay. Yeah. Cause it's gross. And I just wanted to make one other thing. I just have to be clear. Cause I know we can be taken the wrong way online. And I am not glamorizing death or anything, or saying like, this is something that we want you to see. And also, please don't think because I related to Jodi Arias that I think she is in any way like it was justified or anything. I think it's disgusting. Oh, no. 100% yeah, disgusting. Yeah. Nobody deserves that. I don't care what you did. I've been terrible to relate with people in relationships. Nobody deserves that.
And I think that's the difference, right? Like, I think where you are saying you were related to Jodi, I have also been there too. Just, you know, at breaking points, just being so broken by somebody and you just want it to work so bad and you'll forgive them and you're getting used and you just keep going back for more. And the difference is, though, it doesn't excuse like what she did at all, or like, or his actions, you know, they weren't the best, but he never deserved what he got. And there's a difference between us going through that and the fact that a lot of women do, and they never did what she did. You know, it's not an excuse to do that to somebody. And I think that's why that case also fascinates a lot of people, because I do think that despite not a lot of people wanting, like women wanting to say that they can relate to her, they do secretly. And it's like, okay, what was that trigger? Like, what was that breaking point? Because I was in your shoes. And then could I have snapped and done something like that? Because you never think you could. I'm sure she never thought she could.
No, I don't think so. A lot of times I would hear people say, oh, this person's crazy. And I talked to Dr. Doss about that too. I was like, I don't have a PhD or anything. I kind of wish I would have done that instead of a doctorate in law, but I wish I kind of would have gotten a PhD in psychology because it's just so fascinating. And I would have probably been happier because I was stressed a lot. But there are interesting things to think about. Mental health. I have been in a relationship with my daughter's father, and it is I'm sure you know, you have twists and turns in relationships, but it was the only time in my life where I felt like I got to a breaking point. There was just so much pain and so much. We're really good friends. We were friends in the beginning and we're friends now, but there was just this period of time where we were constantly hurting each other. And I'm going to be honest, he knows the story. Like, he told me to put my ring in a safe because he wanted to keep it safe. And then he took it and he melted it down, and it, you know, we had broken up. And I just, something about that was so disrespectful because, I mean, yes, he purchased the ring, but it was mine. And I would have just liked a communication instead of finding out my ring got completely like destroyed. And right. I was destroyed. And I just vividly and vaguely, because I don't know what was going through my head, but I was like standing above him and he was just being so mean and nasty about the ring. And in that little moment, and I'm just like, it's human, I just wanted to do something. Like, I just, of course I didn't, but of course you have these moments. Anybody can get into a position if they're pushed far enough, but that's what differentiates a person that's unstable mentally with someone who's not, because we are able to stop those thoughts.
Right. And have that, yeah, that moment of being like, okay, if I do this, okay, yeah, for 1 second, it might be a gratification, you know, if you slapped somebody or punched them or whatever, but then it's like, okay, that, and then how, you know, the repercussions, you can never turn back from that. So it's very interesting because you think, like, when you see, you know, I guess because we're talking about Jodi Arias, like her, that she was also the same, right? Like, how many other situations had she been in? And it, I wish one day she would want to talk about it honestly and really say, like, in that moment, what was it? Like, I personally feel like she saw that he was taking this other girl on the trip, and that was the breaking point, because originally she was supposed to go, and then he lied and said that he allowed his friend's babysitter or nanny to use his extra space so that the children could come on the cruise or on the trip with them instead, and so she no longer had a seat. And so she was like, okay, fair enough. And then she actually finds out the truth that it's a girl. Like, was it that moment, you know? And she says no, and what she said about him, you know, her finding the photo of the, you know, a child, and, you know,
no, there's no way. No, that's way 100% full lie. Like, yeah, sorry.
You're like, hey, Jodi, good one.
Good one, but not good one. I 100% agree with you. I was gonna put that in at some point. I was gonna say, one thing I did realize is like when I was going through that breakup, it was my mental health that was declining. And I remember a friend telling me, I had never taken medication, never, like just was totally against it at one point in my life. But this was right after I graduated from law school that all this was happening. Like I got pregnant and I, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I was in such a spot where my mental health was really in a bad place. And a friend of mine was like, you know, you really should just get on antidepressants or like just get on some mood stabilizers or something until this passes. I wish I would have listened to that. And if only Jodi had maybe someone closer, because she used to lie to her parents. She didn't have a good relationship with them. I really do believe that her parents might have been harsh to her at one point in life, like she said. I think they loved her and cared about her, but I think she did have some issues growing up. And if someone would have been there to say, you need help, because the difference between what she did and a person that doesn't is like, she has sociopathic tendencies. She has some kind of antisocial personality disorder components. I'm not saying that she's 100% because I'm not a doctor, but those are there. Like we can put it on a piece of paper and go, okay, she has that tendency, this tendency. So that's the difference. It's the lack of help. It's like she isn't getting the help she needs, and she's just on a slope, like a bad slope.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And then just kept going back. And that was what was devastating. I have so many books on the case. I've read so much, watched any documentary out there on it. And it is crazy how that pull like can come to you. And again, it's like, that's another relatable thing where they just knew how toxic they were for each other. And it's like fire and gasoline, and you just can't stay away from that person. You know, it's like there were so many opportunities where she left, you know, like she moved away, met another guy. It's like, why did you end up going back there, you know? And you can't ever, you know, judge, because I've also done the same thing, you know, driving the whole time and being like, this is a shitty idea, this is a terrible idea, Sherilyn.
I did the same thing in that position. Like I knew he was doing stuff with other girls. And I just remember, this is the church boy. We were older. This isn't like I was 15 or anything. I was like in my 20s and he was in his 20s, and he was older than me, and he had a big impression on me. And it was the first guy I'd ever met that was like a singer on stage, and just it was all these emotions, and he was so, I don't know, whatever. But I just remember there was this night I had gotten away from him. I went to college, you know, I was with other guys. And that's another thing I was gonna say. I don't think she realized that there are other men out there. Like it's very hard, because I've been there. I was like, there's nobody else. I'm never gonna find anyone. And now I look
back, Slim Pickens.
I see now. And I'm like, oh my God, I would never want to be with him. Like I look at him and I'm like,
yes.
But I just remember I was at some church event when I was in college, because I was at a Christian college, and he was there. And this is like a couple years after we had like finally stopped seeing each other. And it was like, he's like, hey, you want to come with me? And you know what I did? I had my friend drive me, and I was still texting him, like deciding, should I stay? Should I go? And my friend's like, you really shouldn't. And of course I meet him on the side of the road and get in his car and we go. Like, it was just so stupid.
You're like, I know I shouldn't. So pull over right now, because I've got to go.
Why?
I know, I've been there. It's terrible. But again, totally relatable. But again, not relatable in the same sense that it's like, okay, well, we didn't, you know, again, we don't want to get demonetized, but you know what I mean. Ugh. Is there a case you would never, ever do on your channel?
Well, I always had the intention of doing that case. It was like my first case that I was ever going to do. And I was researching it. And, you know, there were some other components to that case that I started really diving into, because I was like fascinated by why, like how she met him. And I find out she met him at this conference, and like, why was he a speaker? Oh, he worked for this company. And I was like, what was this company? And I started getting really into understanding like this type of company, because there was definitely a major aspect to that case, like the trip he was going on. He was going on that trip because of his company. So there was this big component. And now I just feel like that's a case that I probably will never do. I don't know, but I think there's just too much of like it would bring the past up for me a little bit because I kind of went into a niche that had to do with that. And then I know it sounds weird to people, but just trust me on it. And I just found out that my intentions were, okay, I'm just researching this, looking at it online, want to do this one video to kind of like get my bearing straight to segue into true crime. And this is kind of going to be this reference video to say to people, when you're watching the Jodi Arias case, if you don't really know what this type of business is, go watch this video. I thought that was going to be like my only one. And then it kind of like did well on my channel. So I just went down this rabbit hole and I was really enjoying myself until I just wasn't. Like, I just feel like I was the wrong person for it. Like you said, this really does fit. And that was my true intention from the beginning. And I should have just stayed on that path.
But right. I'm gonna we talked about that too. We did talk about that too. Like how, the company that he was working for, how that initially was like your interest, you know, and then, and how it's so interesting that when an audience reacts to something, you go with it, right?
Yes.
And you don't always trust the gut and be like, okay.
That's what we're taught to do as creators. We, and you know this, like on the back end of YouTube, and I've tried to explain this, but it came off totally wrong because, you know, I'm not saying that viewers cannot comprehend what it's like to be a YouTuber, but there's just that you, honestly, it's like when my dad tries to explain to me what life is like in prison, I'm not trying to be weird and compare the two, but what I'm saying is like, he can tell me and my brain can relate, but there's nothing like actually living in this space. There just isn't. And so YouTube tells us, oh, you did well. And there's like all these green arrows and like confetti going off.
Yes.
It's manipulative.
It is. And then when you don't, they're like, nobody cares about this video.
And so
they do.
It's like, I started to say to myself, because you have to remember, I took that break. I tried to do, rebrand myself. I put out this video that I, you know, I still have this video. It's just not like public on my channel. And I studied this stuff for like 2 or 3 months before I came out with that video. So I was really putting a lot of time and effort into it, which is why I think it did well. Because whenever you put time and effort into something and it's also a topic that people are interested in, you're bound to get people interested. Like, that's just what happens. And YouTube knows where to put it. Like, they're like, oh, this is the audience.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I was like, it got 40,000 views or something. And for me, just coming back on the scene and, you know, doing that class, I'm like, maybe this is it. Maybe this is the thing I never thought I wanted to do, but maybe I'm, you know, maybe I do want to do this, but I didn't. I went back to my previous content, which is sort of like lifestyle and things like that. And then I started getting, like you said, like the audience started coming to me and saying, we need your kind of perspective, the legal minded, you know, research laden perspective on this topic. And I have to admit, like, that made me feel good. Like, right, who wouldn't feel good?
Of
people
course.
Like you.
Yeah. I think that's also what you want so bad going into YouTube. You want that feedback. You want to know, like, okay, what do you want from me? And when you're getting, oh, like, come back, you're like, oh, okay. Like, I can totally do that for you. Like, and you get caught up in it, right?
Yeah. And the weird thing is, like, I'll just say I was doing reaction videos. That's sort of like the niche I went to, but it was like reaction videos to a certain type of business. And what I think is really interesting is, like, I was doing reaction videos on my second channel, which just don't go. I think I deleted them. But before this, I was testing things on the second channel. And I love reaction videos. Like, I just love it. I love,
too.
Like, PewDiePie. And it's like a guilty pleasure. So
love it.
And I love being funny. And you're funny. Like, I watch your videos, I'm laughing. I'm just like, I love you. You know, like, I can relate to that wittiness. And so I was like, this is perfect because people in that niche do sort of reaction videos, but to kind of segue back into what we were talking about and get away from, you know, that subject and back and why I didn't want to do it. After a while, even though I really did feel like I was adding value, and I don't just say that because I'm me, it's because the numbers were there, the people were there. I had very loyal viewers who I genuinely really cared about. I would notice them. I had a membership. I was very close to a lot of people, but that doesn't mean they know me, and that doesn't mean I know them. And I was mistaken, and I thought that people knew me enough to, like, kind of, you know, say things that I just come out of my mouth that are probably terrible. But I decided to leave that genre. And it was because I didn't want to do reaction videos anymore. I watched Steven, oh my gosh, what is his name? Oh, I'm sorry, Meet Kevin. So I watch a channel called Meet Kevin, and he started with reaction videos. And I felt so, I was resonating with him so much in 2020 because he said, even though they were all in good fun, mine were more serious, and I didn't ever call anyone names or anything like that. But even though it's in good fun, you're still hurting someone.
Right.
Someone, because they, you know, they're a little bit put on blast. Even if what they're doing is wrong, they have feelings. They're a human being. And then I have to think about my father again. And I'm like, it's just like, and they're not committing crimes. They're doing something kind of like controversial, you know?
Yeah.
So I have that. I'm not the right person. And I knew that. I was right. Like, I'm not the right person because I have this weird balance and dichotomy yes. between there's a human that's writing me who is in my video yeah. crying, and there's my audience who I love and adore who love me. And I started sliding down that like path where I was like, I don't know how I feel. And then finally I said, right. You know what? I can't lie. I can't go on camera and pretend this is exactly what I feel. So I went on a live stream, which okay. is like the worst thing you can ever do.
Why did I just see Shane Dawson when you did that?
Yes, yes, that was me. And what a freaking shit show. I was a terrible, terrible. Well, I was stupid. And I have so many regrets on how I was trying to portray what I felt, because I was in my feels. And like, what people didn't know on the backside was I had moms and, you know, wives coming to me and telling me their husband like heard their voice on a video, and it was pulling on my damn heartstrings. Like, I don't know how else to say it. And I'm still of the mindset that that is not like, those businesses are not what I would ever do. But then yeah. I made some weird decisions that people were like, she's crazy. And I'm just very curious. And I had to see.
Yes. The size of I know that about you. Yes.
I believe that 100%.
I yes. did that for me, not for YouTube. It wasn't something I was going to yes. post, but I hurt people and I don't want to hurt people. And then I was hurting people all which way around. And I was like, all right.
You didn't know where to go, right? Because I think you're empathetic. I think you're like an empath, right? Like, so you were feeling all of the sides, regardless of whether it was like what you already knew it was wrong. That somebody, I posted something the other day, like on my stories, and it was just a little meme that said, the worst part about being an empath is that you feel for the people who hurt you. And that's true, right? Like it's so relatable. I'm going through something right now and I'm so upset with somebody who has hurt me their whole entire life, my whole entire life. And they've done something to hurt me again recently. And I feel so bad for being icy. I'm not even doing anything. I'm just kind of not having communication, but I feel awful about it. And it's like, Kate, I have not done anything. This has been my whole entire life. You've hurt me. And why do I feel bad? You know, it's hard. And so I know that from talking with you too, like where your intentions are and how, you know, like the things that you say. And I just find you so honest, so real, hilarious, but you do that, right? Like you just talk, you say what's on your mind, and it can be, I love it because it's you, right? It's real. But when you are on a platform where somebody can misconstrue your words and turn them negatively, it's dangerous, right? And like you said, you said people think that they know you, right? Like just because they're watching you and they've got, you know, like they love you and they're loyal to you, really they don't know who you are, right?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Right? Like anything can be taken out of context. And then if a lot of people are saying, yeah, this is what happened, they're like, oh, okay, did it? but and not even know, not even give you the chance.
Some of the things that people, I don't blame anyone for seeing me the way that they saw me, because if I were seeing me the way they saw me, I would think the same freaking thing. Like, that's the thing. It's out of a different lens. And so the people in my life who actually know me and have given me a chance, because I hadn't even, this situation was really hard on so many different ways. Like, I was leaving a genre, but not, and like, I was confused and I was in my feelings, like I said, and when you're doing things out of your feelings are the worst, you should sit with your feelings. And I have changed so much. Yes. And you know, it's what you said. It's so difficult because we chose this and we know that. And going in, any job you choose, you're a lawyer, you know, you're going to be up all night. You know, you're going to be stressed. You know, the rate is high. You know, those things are going to be a part of your world. And with YouTube, you know, the hate is going to be there. You know that you're under a microscope. If I piss someone off at Starbucks or they piss me off, tomorrow, I'm not really going to think about that anymore. They might be the worst Karen like ever. And I'm just going to be like, ah. But when you do something that rocks somebody's world, or they think about you in a certain way and they don't know you, but it's online, it stays there and it festers and people can keep watching it and it gets snowballed. And to be quite honest, because I am honest, and that's my problem. I wish I could have just been like, I know so many YouTubers that do that. They continue in a niche that they're not passionate about because, you know, it's a job. And sometimes we do jobs that we don't love, but we're like, we like it enough. So with me, like you said, there were people doing things that hurt me, regardless of whether I said I don't blame them. I do not blame them. I wouldn't have done the same thing and didn't do the same thing. But I don't blame them for feeling that way. And I'm not mad. Was I hurt? Yeah. But that's the thing. I would cry because some of them would text me, you know, some of them that were close to me, the people that were upset, they would text me and I would cry because I couldn't answer the text message.
Right.
I just couldn't. I couldn't bring myself to, because I needed to just, like a relationship, I needed to just like move on without hurting any more people or, and it was super freaking hard for me, but I'm glad that there were people in my life who 100% know me, like on an everyday basis. My daughter, they know how I treat my family. They've been my friends since kindergarten. They've seen me at my worst and they know there ain't no way that that's how it unfolded. You know what I'm saying? But I don't,
right.
I have no hard feelings. Like, I still think about people who were my friends that I'm not friends with. And it crosses my mind, like how much fun I used to have. And it's hard. It's like an ex-boyfriend.
You've been blessing people with these deep dive, like 2-hour videos. And I'm curious, like, do you ever feel the pressure for yourself that you've put on yourself? Like, you literally set the bar so high for your own self.
I've been thinking about that all day today when I'm when I'm slacking and I know that I need to get stuff done and I just wait till the last minute. What I didn't tell you is, remember that paper that I had to write for the end of the year? Well, I waited until 2 days, like 48 hours before I had to turn it in when everybody else did it for 6 months. And I did all-nighters. I was stressing. And then I turned my paper in late, which docked my grade, I guess you can say. And I ended up getting like a B+. And my professor was like, this would have been an A paper, you know? And I do have a lot of pressure, but
this would have been an A paper if you started 6 days ago instead of two.
And I was like, you know, I always have to reward myself with something. That's just the way I am. I'm like, I don't know if it's part of me being a Gemini or part of me just being self-sufficient where I'm my own boss. And there's a meme. It's not a meme. It's like it's a TikTok video. You've probably seen it. It says, I always wanted to like be my own boss. It's like, and now, and not, and it's like, now I work 24/7. And it is true. It's a lot of work. And that's why I say, you know, people do, I heard you and Brittany Vaughn talking about this, about people kind of get on your case saying you're making money off of people being harmed. And I say, yeah, I understand where they're coming from. Like, I've watched a whole YouTube video about that. And it is hard because I see the point of it. But on the other hand, so are a lot of other big networks. And you guys said this, you guys touched on this. And I really liked that conversation because totally forgot what we were talking about.
This is how our conversations go. I love it though, because it's like on to an equally exciting topic.
No, but I remember you asked me, Do I ever feel burned out, like with everything that's...
Well, no, not burned out, that you've set the bar so high for your own self.
Right. So I was saying...
You're amazing.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I really, really do. And I say that over and over again in my comments. I'm like, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. But appreciating it, I'm sitting with it. I'm thinking about it. And I'm acknowledging that people actually feel that way. And when I think about being my own boss and coming up with these things, I don't know where I was going on that other tangent, but it's the wine. When I think about that, I never intended to get into these deep dives. If you go back to the beginning, actually, I wasn't very empathetic in the very beginning of my channel because I had a podcast called Critique a Killer. I feel like I need to delete it, but it's me and my best friend. And we're just like shooting the crap, you know, talking about murder cases. But I have to say, like, when I did start watching Bailey, she's a little bit more lighthearted. And that was one of my inspirations. And I think the humor does help sometimes in these really bad situations. But me personally, I've become so different. In the beginning, I could joke and laugh about things. And then all of a sudden, when I started doing these cases over and over again, I became so different. And actually, in my personal life, I become so soft. Like, as a person, I probably would have done so many things different in my life, honestly, had I had the same like care for people, which is coming at a time in my life where my hard shell had to be broken down. So these deep dives happened because I started wanting to understand the victim. Like, who was it? Like, who? We always talk about the killer, but like, who was this girl? Was she like me?
I feel the same. Yeah.
And so, yeah, I've kind of set the bar a little high. And I toss and turn, like mostly not sleeping. But you know what keeps me going is I finally found something where I feel like I have a purpose. I feel like I've had families reach out to me and they're just so thankful that I went into so much detail about their dad. I've had a 2-hour Zoom call with Noah Orban, which is Marjorie Orban, who's now in prison, son. And I felt bad because this is where I was going with that whole people tell you about the money thing. We know on YouTube, you've got to make a title interesting. You've got to make a thumbnail interesting. That's just the name of the game. It's not supposed to be expensive.
It's not. And it's not always the fun thing. I've said that too, but it has to happen.
It has to. If you're trying to get someone's story out there, the news does it. We know that that's part of like a title and a thumbnail. But I felt so terrible because the title of the video was The Torso in a Container. That's like, it's so terrible, but that's what it was. It's what they found.
Right.
That's somebody's father. Mm-hmm. And when he reached out to me, I was like, okay, this is the end. He's going to tell me he's suing me, you know, not that that would have been, you know, I get scared. I just get scared because I don't want to hurt anyone. And it was the opposite. It made me bawl my eyes out. It was like, oh my God, I've watched so many videos about my mother and father. And I was blown away by a 2-hour video. I said, how could she possibly have done a 2-hour video? And then he told me there were things in here there he never knew. So that I cried my eyes out because I was like, oh my God, when you sit there and realize like, maybe I have something that I didn't realize I had.
Oh, you do. Yes. And those moments are like so special and keep you going when you speak to somebody's family member that you're talking about. That is it's indescribable, that feeling of connecting with somebody.
You talked to David, sorry I interrupted you. You talked to David's mom and dad, right, about the ongoing investigation, because I was watching your video the other night.
And his sister,
His sister, sorry. His sister.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean. It's like, it's unbelievable.
It is. It's, to connect to them, right? Yeah. And I think there's a part where I think so much of it, it's like, it's those people who are always yelling in the background and trying to get on board with every movement. And they're like the people who are like not even associated with it are always the ones that like have something to say, you know? So it's like in this situation, like for true crime, oh, like how do you feel, you know, making money or whatever? And it's like, okay, well, have you ever had somebody who, you know, left you in this way? Have you ever remotely gone through what some of these family members have gone through? Probably not, because if you had, you'd realize they do want their story out there. They do want people to know about them. And I can't say that I've ever had anybody be like, I can't believe that you said this, and then, you know, talked about my loved one's story. It's the opposite. It's hearing from people, even when I don't interview somebody like David's family or Leslie Palacios' family. I've had a wife reach out to me, and her husband, he was a victim of a serial killer, and she was like, what you said about me, what you said about my husband, what you said about my son, like, I'm so emotional right now. Thank you so much. And I was just like, oh my God, like, I wish I could have done more. I wish I had gone further into it. And so it keeps you going, because usually the people who have something to say can't even relate to the content whatsoever. So.
Well, I agree. And when you and I keep going back to you and Brittany, because there were so many things that you guys said that I was like, oh my God, I could be best friends with them. And she said two things that really stuck with me. She said, you know, this was going back to something else, but she said, like, if you live long enough, you'll be the villain in somebody's story. Yes. So I really related to that. I was like, oh, dang it. I'm the villain in somebody's story. That sucks. But, you know, that happens. And then the second thing you guys were talking about was this exact concept. And I have an answer, I think, because when I was listening to you guys, you said, I keep saying you guys, and I hate that. Hey, you guys. But I was like, yes, I've heard that. And I've been called a lot of different names, and not all the time. It's just those comments always stick out. There's so many positive ones.
Oh, yeah.
These ones that just resonate with you at night. And you're like, but that is not what I go in thinking of. That's not what I go in thinking of. And I guess my answer to that is, you and Brittany talked about the fact that, like, I don't want to say the name, but there are shows out there. We've all watched them. They do these documentary style, and they even interview, you know, family members, and they interview the sometimes the victims or survivors. And I had no idea, but I talked to a survivor. That was one of my last videos. I got blown away, because when I watched the program, I had questions that couldn't be answered online. And I was this close to putting my video out, because I took it from things that I had gotten online. We all know the information's out there, you know, as much as we can find, but there was just some gut feeling, and I go with my gut a lot more than I used to. And so I was like, you know what, if I reach out to her and she says she doesn't want to talk to me, or she even says, don't do my video or anything, then I won't. But she was the sweetest, nicest person. Her name's Christine Kent. Her story is all over the place. And I was blown away that she said that majority of what they portrayed was not true, and they're allowed to embellish. And not only that, you have to remember, we're telling the story without having her, like, you know, her on my channel. That's not her time. That's not her flying over to a set. That's not her being on a set for 3 days. When I tell you how much she told me she got paid, if you think you're triggered by things, I was so triggered. And I did share her GoFundMe, not like GoFundMe, but like her link. And I wanted to do as much as I could, because this woman's life changed because of what this man did to her. So when we spoke, there was no, oh, I don't want my story out there. She said, if she can reach one person, and we can, and that's the beauty of being on YouTube.
Yeah.
You can reach people, women who could see signs that, you know, she told me there was no signs. And that was just like mind blowing. And then you're like, oh my God, like, how can you protect yourself? And she gave advice on that. And I was able to share all that. But you and Brittany touched on the fact that, like, guys, read the beginning of these shows. It says, you know, these are dramatized. That really got to me, because the utmost importance to me is accuracy. And you know what? I'm probably not going to be 100% on point, but I do my very best to vet everything. The Christine Kent video. So you're going to be blown away by this. So she told me that after one of the programs aired, she watched it, and there's nothing you can do. You sign this, like, big stack of papers, this contract, and it says that they're allowed to, like, embellish and use it in this. She didn't really know what she was getting into. They took out her religion. They didn't speak anything about her religion. She's a Christian. She wanted it to be known that in her point of view, that's her point of view, she was praying. Like, this woman, shouldn't have survived this. And in those moments, that's the only thing she could do is just like say, God, please help me. And if she believes that that's what helped her in whatever way, shape or form, why cut that out? Not only that, they made it look like she was like dating two men at the same time. And she had like this other stalker. None of that happened. And so she was on a forum because, you know, she Googles herself and she found herself on this forum, a write-up about that show. There were men making comments that she deserved what happened to her because she was two-timing these men because the story on the TV was, oh yeah, she was like bandaging up the one guy's hand and she told him to come over and fix her house, but she had a boyfriend. She didn't. So she was like, I can't believe that that's the way I was portrayed because that didn't happen.
Wow. And especially like as the victim, you know, not that anything should be embellished because the story is the story. But, you know, if you're going to try to paint somebody in like a more sinister light, like, why would it be somebody who's already gone through so much? I don't get it. I wanted to play a game.
Oh, no. I'm bad at games.
It's a serial killer quiz. I want people to see the fun side of you that I do. So I thought this would be fun.
If it's a trivia, I'm going to get all of them wrong. If it's a trivia, I'm going to get all of them wrong.
Okay, but there's A, B, and C. So like you have the opportunity of at least one of three of them right.
Oh boy. Okay, let's try it.
Okay. Okay, let's do this. First question. When was the term serial killer first coined? Was it in the 1970s, the 1980s, or the 1990s?
I know it wasn't too long ago. I kind of want to say the 80s, but I remember the case. Like I'm seeing the case right now in my head where they came up with that because they used to call it something else and then they changed it to serial killer. But I know I'm probably going to get it wrong if I say 80s, but I'm just going to go with the 80s.
What would you have said if it wasn't the 80s?
I was going to say the 90s, but that seems like too soon.
No, yeah, it was the 70s.
Oh God. See, I told you I was going to get all of them wrong.
I love it. No, we're you're doing perfect.
Okay. So I have to admit something. I'm not really, it's not that I don't like to do videos on serial killers. It's not that I don't like to do videos on serial killers, but I just haven't done too many. But I would say Jeffrey Dahmer because I do know he was fascinated with like science and biology. And a lot of the times he wanted to understand or he said like dissecting it. So I'm going to go with Jeffrey Dahmer on that one.
Yes, babe. You got it.
Woo!
See, I don't even know this one. Like, so we're in this together. What was the serial killer Metal Fang mostly known for? A, he had a pet wolf. B, he had white metal teeth. Or C, he had a group of aggressive dogs. I don't even know who Metal Fang is. Does this make me a terrible true crime creator?
I think you need to do a video on that one. I've never even heard of this guy, but let me guess for fun.
Okay.
Why would they call it Gold Fang if you had white fangs? That's where my brain is going. Wait, did you say Metal Fangs?
Metal.
Okay, fangs. I'm going to go with that one then. I thought you said white fangs.
The one that he had white metal teeth?
Yeah, let's just go with that one.
Yes, babe, that's right.
Woo!
Woo!
Okay, you're killing it. All right, what is the main difference between a mass murderer and a serial killer? A serial killer is more skilled. B, a serial killer lets time pass between each murder. Or C, a serial killer murders all of the victims in a short period of time.
The serial killer lets time go by between the victims. Yeah.
B, yes. Killing it.
He needs to, I did look that up because I was really interested in some of the serial killer stuff. And it's weird, but a lot of them talk about like they need this refreshing part. But not only that, the high, just like a drug, lasts for a little while. And then when it wears off, they need to do it again. So they're on a high for a little while.
So they don't need to kill again for a bit.
Okay, that's interesting.
Dexter Morgan. Don't tell me about the new season because I haven't seen it yet. But my dog's named after Dexter Morgan.
And really?
And he would say he was okay for a little while. Like he'd be like, oh, I'm okay. And then he'd have that urge again.
Right. I honestly, I haven't even finished the first like round of it. I have like a couple, I know I have a couple seasons to go, which is terrible because I did like a whole video on like the Dexter copy.
Oh, that thumbnail was so good. That was one of like the first ones I said, damn, who is this girl making these thumbnails that pop? I was like, I love that thumbnail.
Okay, that was literally like the turning point for the thumbnails for me. That was one of my faves too. I was like, you know what? Like, I can get creative and fun here. It's almost like you see something, you see other people's, so you kind of like just naturally stick to it, right? Because it's just like what you see. And I was like, no, we're going out of the box. I do love the thumb.
I think that was one of the arguments I made in your comment. I was like, have you seen her thumbnails? Like, I kind of remember the argument. And I was like, there, nobody has done thumbnails like that. I'm sorry. Like, yours stand out to me. And there's always like a cool component where I'm like, oh, there's a crown and then there's this thing and this is going to happen. And I'm like, that's really cool. I have to watch it.
Oh, thanks, babe. I know. I love a little, I love a good thumbnail. And the Dexter one, what that was like the turning point of the thumbnails. It sounds so stupid.
But I don't know if this ever happened to you. I have been taught from law school and taught from, I'm actually taking classes right now as well. And I'm taking medical legal death investigation classes, which if you don't want to see dead bodies, please do not take those classes. But I'm very interested in like the science and the crime scene investigation. And that's just personal. But I don't know if this ever happened to you where somebody accuses you of victim blaming and you say, I'm not victim blaming. God, no. But I'm telling you what led up to it. And there are actions that a victim took that we need to kind of talk about. Otherwise, this video is not going to make sense. Like, I have to tell you what they were doing and who they got involved with. And I think like even with Travis Alexander, if we even said like, oh, he was kind of being a, you know, not the best guy, somebody might be like, that's wrong. Don't victim blame. And you're like, but that's part of the story. You can't really remove the victim from victimology. Like, that's, cops look at that. They're like, well, where was she? What kind of job does she have? That's just part of it. But sometimes in the comments, I got one the other day that was just like accusing me of victim blaming. And they said, you're probably going to erase this because you erase comments. I said, I do not erase comments. There will be one in hundreds that I erase. And it's not because you're saying anything about me, meaning if they say, I don't like that you do this, or I don't like that you do that, I kind of welcome that feedback because you are my audience. And I want to know what you do like, and like, it doesn't mean I'm going to change just because that happened, but I take it under advisement, so to speak. And I think, okay, let me think about it. If it's like your audio sucks, I'll think about it. If it's like change the way you do things, not going to think about it as much. But I don't delete, I'm not sitting there deleting comments. As a matter of fact, the app is where I usually look at my comments. And unfortunately, like you said, and I guess maybe they're trying to change this, it's not the same as when I'm looking at desktop. And who has time to run to their computer and make sure the filters are right?
No, it's crazy. I miss so much. And I do make an effort. Like, I have YouTube Studio also downloaded on my phone. So that does help a little bit more. But even still, like when I see it on the desktop, and then it makes me feel bad because I'm just like, I think people really expect from me to interact and talk in the comments because I've always been that way. I always want to chat with everybody and let them know that I appreciate them. And it gets harder like as more people comment. And then of course, like you said, as few as there are of the negative comments, for some reason they're the ones that keep you up at night. And so you want to kind of avoid that. And it sucks because you're also avoiding all of the positive ones. But I definitely kind of turn away from them a little bit more right now. And but I don't also see some, and I've had that too. Somebody be like, oh, well, you deleted this comment. And I'm like, girl, I did not delete any comments. Like, if you want to, there's certain ones that I'll delete. Like, if you're just being an absolute asshole and then you're just bullying me, okay, then it's going to go. But no, if you have an opinion.
Yeah, if it's just an opinion, I mean, you're entitled to it and we should talk about it and have a good communication back and forth because that's what we're here for. We're here to engage and this is engaging content. So I welcome that. And in my terms and conditions, I say, I am not opposed to, I say like, disagree with the opinion, not with the person. And so you can 100% disagree with something I said, 100%. I like confrontation. I really do. I like to like banter and figure it out. But you have to also understand YouTube is very strict because they've been sued. People have bullied people to the point of like almost, you know, taking their life. Like, this is bad. And so they have an obligation to make sure that they're having a safe environment for people. So they block a lot of my comments. It has nothing to do with me. I don't know what those are. And so I of course I'm going to delete something. Like you said, that's like an a-hole going freaking crazy about my lips or something, which I get so many rude comments about my face and stuff. And that's one of the things you're not supposed to comment on, because you know why? You can go on my Instagram and say like, oh, I don't like your lips or whatever, because that to me is just, it's more of a fun place, but we're talking about someone's death. I think it's so inappropriate for you to be like, oh, your lips look fake, or your whatever, you had too much plastic surgery, which I didn't have, but hey, you know, take it as a compliment. But it's just, that's so inappropriate. We're talking about somebody that, had a tragedy. So those things do get to me, and sometimes I'll just delete them.
I agree. Yeah, there's a time and a place, and that makes me uncomfortable too. Like I've said in one video where a lot of people will like have opinions about like my hair or whatever. Like, oh, don't do this. You look way better with it. And I'm like, bro, like you totally are missing the point of the video right now.
But we are, you know, on camera, where sometimes people do voiceover videos, so they don't have to have that backlash of, you know, maybe, you know, we're human beings. So yeah, my eyebrows could be like cousins, sisters, and like my, you know, my lipstick could be smudged and I don't know it. I'm not looking in a mirror when I'm filming. And then, you know, I used to have lip filler. Who cares if I got it again, if I get it again, whatever. Like I'm human and I'm not against any of those things if I wanted it. But it's when people say things that are not true that I kind of do get a little bit annoyed. But then my friends are like, embrace it. It's a compliment. I'm like, I'm going to try.
No, it is. You're a babe. And that's like, and it sucks like for you to be like so beautiful because people go for you for that, right? Like they're like, they want to hate on you just because you're out there doing what you want to do, killing it, and you are gorgeous. And that's just what attracts.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But so are you. And had you seen the comment on your page? Sorry, I'm going to focus on a comment I saw on your page, but they said, the only reason why you're doing good is because boobs and a pretty face. It's like, oh my God. And then I was like, I'm not going to comment because then they're going to come on my page and be like, same girl, same.
Oh, and there's your friend.
Same. And I'm like, are you serious right now? Like, that is so...
I did wear this one shirt and I never even thought about it. It was quite chesty. I did have quite the cleavage on it. And I don't know if I saw that comment, but I did see a comment where somebody said like how inappropriate it was for me to be wearing the shirt while I was talking about something. And I was like, okay, like I am not like that. Like, I am not like, hey, like, look at my cleavage today, you know? And I also know that my audience is, I think the stats are like 92% women, you know? I'm not out here trying to catch, I'm happily married as well. Like, what are you talking about? It was just, I never even thought about it. And I was like, breastfeeding problems, I guess, you know, like they're really out there right now. And I just didn't think about it. But then after I was like, okay, well, like that's fair. But those comments, like I would tend to delete, like don't even try to make it feel like I'm out here trying to catch attention and take away from the story that I'm, you know, saying. Anyways, we can't always, there's always going to be somebody that says something.
I definitely would get those comments if I had more revealing outfits. because I too, my sister especially, oh my goodness, we just, you know, it's just, we have big chests and it just happens. And for me, I have had surgery and I've tried to reduce that area, and then it happened to be I got pregnant right afterwards, so that was just a waste of my hard-earned money. But it's just one of those things. And I commented on your video yesterday, I said, weird, I wear an underwear bra to bed like every night, because you said that they were interested in the and I was like, I can't handle the weight of like leaning over, because I sleep on my side of, you know, my chest. And I'm so used to people making comments about my younger sister's chest. And it's just like, she doesn't want to do anything because she's so scared of surgery, but they're like, eh. And me being short, you know, it's hard. And then you put on a shirt and you look on camera, you look bigger too. So it's like, in that area, we're like talking right here, and then you're going to see that. So I do try to cover if I can.
Oh, I'm so much more aware of it now. Hence why I'm wearing like a freaking...
That's what I'm wearing. Yeah,
it's just like we're both in the same outfit. We're like, you're not today. You're not coming for us today. What would be your advice to somebody coming on the space and kind of dealing with being under a microscope all the time?
I love thinking about more and more people coming to YouTube and even true crime. I feel like there's always room for a new personality, because no matter how many things have been talked about, nothing new under the sun. There's already been an article, a TV show, a person. I always am intrigued by the way that somebody tells a story. We're all so different. We have different backgrounds, different experiences. And I will hear people say this and they'll say, oh, it's oversaturated, whatever it is. It could be tech, it could be beauty, it could be true crime. And I'll say, everything's oversaturated. If every lawyer or doctor felt like everyone's a lawyer and doctor, which you could think that, they would never have the ambition to go for that. So I think my biggest advice is know what you want to do first, because yes, we've all experimented, but I honestly believe if you write down things you're good at, like I'm funny, I have a background in blah, my favorite thing to do is da da da, you know, you're going to have better narrow options than like, hey, let's throw spaghetti on the wall and see what sticks. I don't think that that's the best route, because I've been there. And then, you know, you do get a lot of backlash of, okay, well, why are you doing this now? And you might get an audience that you really love and loves you. And then they're like, why are you changing? So I would try to practice and see what you're good at, and maybe have your friends and family watch those videos and let them tell you, like, girl, you're cringy. just let them tell you, because if you're not willing to let people that know you watch it, because I used to be very scared to do that, then why would you want to potentially have billions of people? Because your video can go viral. Like, right. Why would you be afraid to share it with 5 people, then share it with a ton of people that are going to be like, girl, you need to not quit your day job. So my biggest advice also is know that this is going to happen. There are going to be a lot of opinions, a lot of criticism towards you, and you're going to be put under a microscope. This isn't a place where you say something and it goes away in a day. People are going to come back. They're going to tell their friends. They're going to tell, you know, maybe another YouTuber is going to see it. And it's, I don't like to say you should have thick skin, because I honestly believe that I don't want to be hardened. Like, that's my biggest fear, is like being too hardened and my feelings being calloused. Instead, I think those people shouldn't have that mentality to harm other people. But a support system is the number one thing. And really just remembering that the individuals who have those things to say about you, they don't truly know you. And just remembering that there are people that love you and care about you. And guess what? Even if everyone, there's a group of people or everyone seems to not like you, look at all the people out there. Tati Westbrook, James Charles, Shane Dawson. There are still people who like them. There are still going to be people who like you. And so no matter what you do or who you are, there's going to be an audience for you, and they're there and you can find them. So that's my biggest piece of advice. It's kind of long.
That was beautiful. That was like perfect. That was literally the perfect way to like wrap this up, because that truly is what I feel like encompasses, like, it is you. That everything that you just said is what I admire about you, what drew me to you, and what I was so thankful that I got a chance to know and never prejudge you. You know, I never wanted to be anybody in the space looking and going off of somebody else's opinion where, unless they know you personally, they didn't know you. And yeah, no, I thought that was very beautifully said. I'm getting a little bit emotional.
Thank you. I really respect that. And I told you, I when you and I started really talking and I hadn't told you anything about me, because honestly, you just want people to know me for who I am with them. And I had no reason to really tell you, but I had gone through some things and it's part of my YouTube story as well. So when we started connecting, I was like, oh my God. And then when you told me you already knew, you're like the first person that's I've ever been in that situation with. So I was like showing my fiance and just bawling, because I said, she's like the nicest person, and it does get me choked up. Like I am emotional, and I've even become more emotional having a daughter and then with these cases and really understanding human human beings and human behavior. But I was so thankful for that because I really thought I was going to like lose you as a friend when, you know, when you knew what had happened or like what, you know, was, I don't know. It just really, it was really nice. And it was more than nice. It was just like, I can't even believe there's people out there who give people a chance, you know?
Oh, I think there's, and that's it. Like, we need way more of that cancel culture. Like, it needs to be canceled. Cancel culture. That's what needs to be canceled. In these days, it's, everybody is just so quick to be like, I know this is what was said. This is this. And it's not. And I think it's discouraging a lot of people from following their dreams. Like, I hear so many people all the time, like, how do I get started? How do I do this? I don't have the confidence. I don't want to do this. And I'm like, do it. Just do it. You're never going to, you know, avoid some of these situations. And, you know, like you're not even going to like give yourself the chance. Maybe you just don't even like it, you know, but you'll never know if you don't give yourself a try. And you never want to go through life having this like, what if moment, right?
And it's an opportunity if you truly do this and you realize, because I've tried to get away from YouTube so many times. I've had opportunities to get jobs and it's amazing. Like there's things I'm interested in. And I'm like, I can do that job. But there's just something about YouTube. It's just, I keep coming back to it and it is something I truly love. And if you do, you will feel all of the good things that come with this job. And then there's a lot of bad things, but you just have to weigh, well, what else would I be doing if I wasn't doing this? And then you think, I want to do something I absolutely love doing and get paid for that as a career. And I think so many of us should be doing that. Our life is so short. Don't stay in something you absolutely hate, whether that's a relationship or a job. And it is scary. And yeah. And like you said, I mean, there's no way to avoid people not liking you in everyday life or on YouTube, but I like what you said. It's just, you don't know the person and we're so quick. I'm guilty of it too. I don't know people, but my best advice on that, if you are triggered by someone or you don't like what they're doing, because I've been there, I would say, you know, if you don't think that that's a valuable, like I'm not adding value, you should not watch my videos. And those that do find value in it, understand why we are valuable, meaning we should be rewarded, so to speak, with monetary things, you know, but also how do you know what we even want to do with that stuff? Cause I would love to do charities. I love animals, but I can't do any of that stuff if I don't do something that's, you know, my career and where do I want to go with it? So just don't discount the fact that you could love this so much that the good will seriously outweigh the bad things.
100%. Well said, babe. Thumbs up. Okay. I think the way you finished that was absolutely everything. I think it nailed everything that I wanted to, which my goal was to everybody to see you, know you, and that was you to a T. So thank you for being you and thank you for coming on and being my second guest. I'm so, so thankful that you're here. And
yay, second.
We made it. It was
yes, and we made it. We almost didn't get to do this today due to my technical difficulties, but I'm so glad that you stuck it out with me.
Yeah, totally. Thank you so much.
Well, I hope you come back.
Oh yeah, I want to interview you.
Okay.
I have so many questions now. I don't have a cool podcast to do it on, but we'll figure out a way.
We'll make one. Okay. Well, thank you. I love you. You guys, I will leave all of the links to go and send Kimberly some beautiful love. She is so deserving of it. If you are not watching her, please go and do so. I love you. You have not seen the last of her on this podcast. I hope. I hope.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate it. I love being here.
Thank you so much for tuning in. That is our show for tonight. I will catch you in the next episode with our next guest. Don't forget to go and send Kim some love. I'll make sure to link all of her socials below for you. And please don't forget to rate and review the show. It really helps me immensely and I appreciate you so much. Most importantly, don't forget to love each other, love yourself.
Whether you're working out, walking, or running errands, Audible can help you keep your heart rate up month after month with their pulse-pounding collection of thrilling audiobooks that you can't hear anywhere else. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes thousands of titles. This month, check out the Audible original, The Space Within. It's a chilling 8-part story about a psychiatrist, Dr. Maddie Weil, voiced by Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, who is tasked with unlocking the memories of a child who went missing for 7 hours. Maddie soon discovers that there are more who have faced similar experiences, and the truth of what is happening to them may impact the fate of humankind. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.
And I will talk to you soon.